Hallelujah.
Glory.
First Samuel, if you have your Bibles tonight, chapter number 9. Now, everybody get a Bible. Get a Bible. I need help tonight, like we did last time. Get a Bible. Amen. This chapter here is jam-packed full of goodies. Amen.
Yes, it is.
But as we mentioned, God had a plan for Israel, and you'd have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we will. And you can read where God said, I'm gonna choose me a king, and it's gonna come of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And it's very plain in this chapter that we read here tonight that Saul was not of the tribe of Judah. And so we got into the will of God the last time, and it was God's will to give Israel a king, just not at this time.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And we find that later because Saul's heart turned against God. Amen.
Yes.
So in their stubbornness and their rebellion against God, the Israelites asked for a king, and God gave them one. Samuel warned them of what they would do. Just a little reminder of last time. He said, your sons is going to be drafted into that king's military. Amen. They're going to appoint, they would be appointed, you will be appointed to the king's work. Your farms will be used for the use of the king. Your daughters are going to be cooks and confectionaries and bakers. And your lands will be confiscated. Amen. They'll take what you have. It'll be used for the king. 10% of the seed would be for the officers and the servants. Everything you grow, 10% of it's going to go to feed everything that this king, all the officers and servants of his.
Yep.
And Samuel warned them that they would cry. He said, you're going to get what you want. And once you get what you want, you're going to cry to God and say, oh, God, we've messed up. Didn't that sound familiar? Your parents ever told you that?
Yeah.
Amen. Don't do that. If you do that, it's going to hurt you. And finally, they did that. Samuel said, once you realize that you've messed up, you're going to cry. But God ain't going to listen. Amen.
Woo-hoo.
I tell you, that's a sad verse in the Word of God. When you can cry, nobody listens. Amen.
Come on now.
And that's the place that they got to. And in spite of all these warnings, I want you to listen to this. The people refused to obey the voice of God. And Samuel, amen, they refused God's man, God's prophet, and they refused God. Hallelujah. And their demand was, and this reminds me so much, they was just so head stubborn, Brother George, they said, give us a king.
Yep.
Amen. It reminds me of the people of Jesus' day when they had Jesus locked up and they said, this ain't the man. This man's innocent. Let this man go. No. Amen. Don't let him go. Give us Barabbas.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Give us Barabbas. Oh, God.
Come on.
We want to be like all the other nations. God, in his judgment, gave them what they wanted. It was not the sovereign will of God. Amen. But it was his permissive will because they demanded of it. Hallelujah. Hosea 13 and 11. You can write this down. It's a great study. Study it later. Said, I gave thee a king in my anger. The prophet said, but I took him away in my wrath. Hallelujah. I gave you a king in my anger, but I took him away in my wrath. Hallelujah. God gave them a king to meet their needs, but also to discipline them. Amen. Saul was set in king to discipline Israel. Amen. In chapter 9, we see the call of Saul, this chapter that we just read. And it reveals the human side of Saul. But in chapter number 10, we see the working of the Lord in Saul's life. Amen. Chapter 9 gives us many of Saul's qualities, what he was able to do. Amen. Saul was very usable. Hallelujah. At this point in his life, he had the right attitude. And I want you to notice this. Amen. His dad said, the asses are gone. The donkeys are gone. We need somebody to find. Go find them, Saul. And Saul was very ready to go do what his father had asked him to do.
Yeah.
Amen. And I want you to notice his attitude when he got into the man of God. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. And it still bores me. I preached this in the past. I've looked at this in years of the past. But it bores me, Brother Tommy, that Samuel had been on the stage of Israel for all these years. The man of God, the seer, the prophet, God spoke to him. Traveled through towns and cities all through Israel. And Saul had no clue who the man of God was.
Come on. Woo!
That's sad, amen.
Yeah.
And it's not only a reflection on Saul. Saul was a young man at this point. But it's a reflection on his parents, amen. It's a reflection on his ancestors.
Come on.
They didn't see it important enough to say, there is the man of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Respect, lift up. Amen. Back push, amen. The man of God. He was standing at the seer's house. Saul said, I've come to find the seer. Do you know where he is? I've come. In other words, to find the man, talking to the man of God. Hallelujah. Here Samuel is, in all of his power, has prophesied to Israel, has led Israel, and told him what God saith. Hallelujah. And he's standing in his presence and he said, do you know where the preacher is? Amen. Do you know where God's man is? And Samuel had to look at him and say, I'm the prophet. Amen. And you're looking at him. I'm the seer. Amen.
Yeah.
I am the man of God. The great God said, Saul had a wonderful attitude. And I want to hone in right here before I move any further. It's very important if you want to be used of God to have the right attitude.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo!
Come on.
I got one amen.
Yeah,
did you hear that? I said, if you're going to be used of God, I want you to know that Saul had the right attitude when he was young. But when he got old, he got the bad attitude.
Bad
amen.
Attitude.
He got the lifted up attitude. Saul thought Saul was big and bad. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you to notice it's very important. Amen. God can never use you to preach. I'm not a preacher, Brother Jason. God can't even anoint you to sing. God can't even anoint you to testify if you don't have a right attitude.
Right attitude.
Woo! Amen.
Come on.
I appreciate the three amens. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I said it's very important, amen, to have a right attitude. What am I to have a right attitude towards? God, I'm glad you asked. Amen. It's important to have a right attitude to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. He's a big God. Amen. And he knows everything.
Yes.
And you better have a right attitude towards God. Amen. It's very important to have a right attitude towards your parents. If you're young and still in a parent's house, amen. Great God in heaven, you see your mom had some heavy carrying. Great God, put everything down and say, I'll get that for you. Amen. Come on now. Hey, great God. Amen. You see dad in a bind doing something and he needs help. Drop everything and say, dad, amen, I'm going to have a right attitude toward my parents. I'm going to have a right attitude toward they that in authority over me. And this is the breakdown of the country right here. Amen. Not only the country, the breakdown of the modern day church. We don't have respect for anybody. Amen. That's in any type of authority. We don't have the right attitude. We think the world owes us something. Amen. But Jason, are you against government programs? Oh no. I'm not against them whatsoever. People need help. They need help. I'm not against that. But what I am against, when you just hand and give somebody their whole life, they think that's owed to them. Amen. Come on now. I've seen people, amen, that's been handed and give all their life till they get to the place where they expect somebody to hand and give them everything they got. Hey, I come to tell us here tonight, everything I got comes from the Lord. Everything I got tomorrow, I can wake up in the morning, amen, with cancer. I can wake up in the morning with a stroke and be paralyzed and lose everything. Hey, I come to say, God, I want to praise you. God, I want to lift you up. You're my everything. I can't walk without your hold of my. I can't talk without your hold of my. Have a right attitude towards God. Have a right attitude towards your parents. Have a right attitude toward the teacher. Maybe I ought to just go ahead and make a message and preach right here. Have a right attitude toward the
is having respect for the man of God. We're living in an hour where respect for the minister and the ministry is at an all-time low.
Yes, it is.
Yes, God.
Come on, bro.
Thank you, Jesus.
Saul didn't know much better, Brother George.
Glory to God.
And then you could tell easily in the pages of this. He wasn't raised up in church.
No.
He wasn't raised up around the man of God. But that servant, he had some raising. That servant said, man, no notice, they went through all them lands. I think it was, I started to say Sister Missy, but she didn't read. Whose section was it when they went to the Benjamin? They went to all them lands and they couldn't find the donkeys. So the servant said, we searched the whole country and we can't find them. But I know somebody's got a GPS. Come on now. A GPS before Siri ever came around. Amen. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes Siri told me, turn left, and I knew I couldn't turn left. But God ain't never told me to turn when I couldn't make a turn. Hey, that old servant said, I'd like to go down there. I know this is where Samuel lives. I know it's the man of God's town. We've searched everywhere. He knows. Amen. I love this. He knows. Amen. Where it is, what we need. That man of God, he can tell you where to. He had respect. He had ups. Amen. High esteem for the man of God. But he said, I can't even go down there because I don't have nothing to give him.
Come on.
Come on. His mom and dad said, not only do you esteem him high, not only do you reverence him, not only, amen, do you carry, amen, his Bible for him if he needs you to. Amen. But give him something. Give him a present. Amen. Come on. Go out and kill him a squirrel and cook it for him. Great God. Do something for the man of God.
Woo! Praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Brother Dave Miller tells me when he goes to Hawaii, he said it makes him feel so uncomfortable. Amen. They do things different over there. They're poor folks. But he said when he's sitting there, and they're getting ready to call on him to preach. He's not allowed to carry his Bible. Then Hawaiians come. And they got a like a scarf type thing. They carry his Bible. Amen. And they come up there. And they lay his Bible out. And they've asked him, he said. Every time they said, tell us where you're preaching from tonight, book, chapter, and verse. And we want to open it for you and have it ready.
Woo.
And Brother Miller all said, right. Hey man, you carry my Bible for me. And I want to open it myself. Hey! Esteem and the man of right attitudes. You think ought to move on or just go ahead and preach here a while? Right attitudes. Somebody said, hey man, nobody ain't treating me right. Have you treated anybody else right? Hey, if you want to be treated right, you got to treat others right. If you want to be treated with respect, you got to treat others with respect. Tell them thanks. Tell them you're welcome. Great God, don't feel like everybody in the world owes you something. Don't feel like, hey man, everybody, great God, got a chip on you. Somebody will knock that chip off your shoulder.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord. Come on, bro.
Yeah. God gave them a king to meet their needs, but also to send them discipline.
Yeah.
Great God. So our Lord creates us, I believe, with special characteristics because he has certain tasks for us. Did you hear this? Every one of us has different characteristics. I've got weight. I was up there in the camp meeting last week. And I don't know how many preachers have preached 2 at 10, 2 to 3 at 2 o'clock, and 1 at 7 o'clock. 5-6 preachers a day. And every one of them preaches different.
Yeah.
Every one of them has a different style. I don't know how many singers sing. Every one of them had a different style.
Sure.
Woo. Amen. You know why? Because God made us to be us.
That's right.
I can't preach like Tommy because I'm not Tommy. I got to preach like Jason.
Yeah.
Hey, God. Hey, come on now. I can't sing like you. I can't sing anyway. I can't sing like you. I gotta sing like me. Don't spend your life trying to be somebody else. Don't spend your life trying to mock. It's just natural for young people. I remember when I was a young preacher, I even preached a few darn rich messages. Amen. Glory to God. I went around trying to act and preach like Don Rich. Amen. Finally, I got a few years on me and I figured I ain't Don Rich. I'm Jason Painter. And I got to preach like God's called me to preach. Hey, and if I'll be faithful in that, God will be faithful in the calling. Amen. He ain't called you to be something you're not. He's called you to be who you are and be comfortable in that calling. Amen.
You're right.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
I'm an old country hillbilly.
Come on.
If I get out and try that proper, it ain't going to work.
Come on, brother.
Come on, man.
That's right.
Bless him, Lord.
There you go. God created you to be who you are.
Yeah.
According to your characteristics. Everybody's. Some preachers quote 50 scriptures while they preach. I don't. I got to read them. I can't remember 50.
Come on.
Everybody's got different styles. What I'm trying to say is God knows what you're good at. And he'll hone your specialties in.
He'll do it.
You don't go to a brain surgeon for open heart surgery.
Yeah.
I hadn't been trained in that.
True. That's right.
Let's move on
right,
here.
Right.
So let's look real briefly, amen, at the characteristics here of Saul, amen. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Although it was not who God prophesied would sit on the throne of the tribe of Judah, when one looks at the family tree of Saul, amen, we find the traits of the carnal, natural man in the meaning of the names of his family. Saul exhibited the traits of carnality in his life as we see. Here are the names and their messages. Listen, Kish. Kish meant a snare, amen. A picture of the lost being deceived, hallelujah.
Wow.
Amen. Zeor, as Brother Tom tried to pronounce these guys, I don't know, I'm going to say it any better, comes from the root word meaning to bind up, to shut up, amen.
Yeah.
Great God. The lost are bound up in sin.
Yeah.
And Apaya, from a Hebrew word, means to blow, to puff, to scoff. A picture of pride and scoffing of the natural man. You ever seen somebody? Don't ever know how to hush it up, amen. Don't ever know how just to sit up and listen. Some of the best advice, Brother Tommy. Hey, God. Amen. I guess I was like that when I was young. Like to talk a lot, amen. And God will put in your life who you need there, amen. And I'll never forget it hurt my feelings at the time. But Brother Larry Stevens looked at me one day and said, Jason, he said, you talk too much. Thank God. I took his advice. I don't talk near as much as he used to. He said, you talk too much. He said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen two times more than you talk. It was plain and to the point.
Yeah.
And I took it. Thank God. I listened two times more than I talk now. Hallelujah. Amen. And Apaya never shut his mouth up. He'd already been there and back from the trip and telling you all about free God. You ever seen them kind of people? Amen. Hey, I come to tell us. Hey, say that last one. McCord up there. Meant to cleave, to be first. A picture of selfishness. I want to be first. I'm going to be the first one in line. Thank God. I want to be first. We've all seen them. That's who Saul come from. Amen. Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul spoke of this as being an advantage. Amen. The Benjamites descended from Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. This was a tribe, amen, of endearment. Then the name Benjamin meant the son of my right hand. He is a type of Christ who is at the right hand of God. Amen. Benjamin was the chosen son of his father. The inheritance of Benjamin, and listen to this, included Jerusalem, Bethel, Mizpah, and Ramah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which was Saul's home. Amen. This tribe was greatly reduced. Amen. In the book of Judges, each remaining man had more than enough land. Oh, yes, he was a choice young man. He was young and tall in stature. And in this day, that was very important in their society. Amen. A good looking, tall, big man. And that's what Israel was looking for. God knew their hearts.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If God would have had David ready, they would not have accepted David. Amen. Even though David was God's man,
yeah.
Even though David was of the tribe of Judah, great God, even though David was God's choice, they wanted a big, pretty man.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way we are? When we get things in our mind, here's how I want. We got it pictured out. There's what I want. Here's what I want it to look like. And we tell God what we want. But I come to tell us tonight, God knows what you want. Amen. He was a big, tall, strong, pretty man, good-looking man, but he wasn't the right man. David was a small, scrawny, little fella, but he was a right man. Hey, I come to tell us, God knows what's best, better than you know what's best. That's some of our problems. We've already got it figured out. We know what it is we need, and we say, God, here it is. You need to wipe the slate clean and say, God, give me what
yeah.
Lord, you know the future. You see over the hump. You see around the turn. You know what I mean. Is there anybody in the house would raise a hand and say, God, give me what I need.
Yeah.
God, give me what I need.
Lord.
I need you first in my life.
Let's move over here.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus.
It's always obedient. We've already hit on that. He did what his father told him to do.
Right.
Saul seems to be diligent. He's out looking for the donkeys. Saul had a concern for his father, verse 5. He didn't want his father to be worried. He's like, man, we're out here looking everywhere. My dad's been worried about that. We've been gone a long time. He is worried. You should be worried about those that's in your life. Amen?
Right.
Woo. I love this right here.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to look at verse number 6. It's very important. Let's get this one again before I move further. And he said to him, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he hath cometh, all that he saith rather cometh to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Amen. He was open to counsel. Did you hear that?
Yep.
He was open to counsel. If I said this once, I've said it 100 times. You can help somebody that's open to counsel. Amen. I've been saved since I've been 13. That's a long time. Amen. A lot of years. I've been preaching a lot of years. Amen. But you know what? I'm still open to counsel. Amen. My Uncle Larry would come by and anybody. Amen. I knew it's godly advice. They'd say, you talk too much. Shut up. I'd be open to counsel. Come on now.
All right.
Hey. But the moment you get to the place where the man of God can't tell you nothing, and you pout up, pooch up, and get mad, and say, I can just run on down somewhere else. Yeah, you sure can. But you're going to live your life chasing your tail like an old dog in the yard. Come on, you ever seen him chase that tail around and never get no, he can't take no advice, can't take no counsel. You'll never be any good for nothing until you learn to take some counsel, amen, from God, from God's man, and from God's word. People can't take preaching today.
Oh.
I've never seen a time, Brother Daniel, you can preach to them right out of this book right here what it says, and they still can't take it, amen.
You're right.
You know why?
It's true.
Because we're living in a day where we have been brainwashed.
Come on.
They say the church brainwashes people, hogwash.
Right.
Society and the government brainwash us to tell us we got rights.
Come on, come on.
I've never seen such a generation where everybody's got rights.
Come on.
Women's rights, men's rights, black rights,
come on.
Hispanic rights. Amen. Come on. You ain't got no rights. I ain't got no rights, Brother Daniel. The only right I got is that God put me on this earth and told me to serve him and love him and lift him up and put God first. I don't have a right
A baby can be sucked out of its mother's womb, but a dog's got more right than a human does. In today's society, it has brainwashed us. Great God, it has even took the effectiveness out of the pulpits, telling us we've got rights.
That's the truth.
That's good.
Woo!
That's sound preaching right there.
Oh, preach.
So now, preacher can get up and preach the word of God. And nobody has any stock in it because I got rights.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's true.
I forget the man's name. I've told you before. A fellow come over here. It's over 100 years ago. I think it was like 150 years ago when America was blossoming and being blessed. And he came over and did a study on what made America great. Remember that? Somebody read it. He went to the factories and to the industry. Amen. Went to the inner cities and outer cities and suburbs. Studied America. He said, America's no different than other countries I've been. America's no different, no better than these other countries. And this man wrote in his findings. He said, it was not until I visited the churches in America that I found out what separated America from the rest.
Hallelujah.
He's got the Holy Ghost right there.
Hallelujah.
He said, when I visited the churches in America, I felt the flame from their pulpits when they preached against the sins of the day. I'm talking 150 years ago when you could still preach against sin and people would cry and get in an altar and say, God, forgive me my sin. I want to do better. Now you preach against sin.
Come on.
I don't have to do that. I got rights.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm my own man. I don't got to listen to that preacher. Great God. No, you don't. But America's running headlong into hell on their rights. I said they're running headlong into hell thinking I've got rights to do what I want. No, your right is to listen to God's word and to listen to the man of God as he preaches.
Hope
this is helping somebody. It's helping me.
Jesus.
Saul was diligent.
Sound.
He was over in the council. I ain't going to get to chapter 10. I'm sorry. I thought it was. Saul was weak in spiritual affairs.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be diligent. Look at all the good things. He was of a good tribe, Benjamin. Yeah. Amen. He was diligent. He was open to counsel. But he had weak spiritual affairs.
Yep.
Yep.
Saul does not seem to be any familiar whatsoever with Samuel. Gibeah was only 20 miles from Samuel's headquarters. He only lived 20 miles from a man of God, and he didn't know anything about him. Isn't that sad?
Yep.
20 miles, and he didn't know anything spiritual. And I'm not saying this to be mean or outlandish. This goes with me. This goes with you. Amen. Our families, immediate families, don't know anything about God.
Yeah.
We haven't told them.
Come on.
Our immediate families doesn't know anything about the power of God because they don't see it on us.
Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah, I understand Saul was young, but where was his parents?
Where was his parents?
True.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Saul at this point is transparent and he's humble. Saul says, I'm one of the smallest tribes of the least of the families of Benjamin.
Yeah.
His attitude is, why are you speaking to me? Amen. Lord, why are you calling me? You ever been there when God's calling you to do something? I understand it was a sense of humility, but in the same token, when God calls, we should be reverent and say, God, I'm nothing and nobody. But if that's what you want, I'm ready to run.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah, praise God.
We need people that's reverent to the Spirit of God when God speaks to say, God, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You can spend the rest of your life twiddling your thumbs and get nothing done if you don't listen to the voice of God.
You're right.
Amen.
Now listen.
Wow.
Yes, that's Lord. Good.
I know this is a bigger load than you're expecting tonight. Little as much of God's in it.
Right.
God can take a rod. Part of Red Sea.
That's right.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Samson took the jawbone of an ass. It slips out.
Yes, sir.
David used 5 smooth stones to take down the giant.
All right.
Wow. Little as much if God gets in it. God used a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in the hands of a widow to sustain her and her family and the man of God through a famine.
Right.
Little as much if God gets in it.
Praise God.
Woo! I thought we'd be shouting.
Yeah.
Amen. He used a little boy's lunch. Hey, God in heaven. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Yeah.
But he fed the multitude.
Fed the multitude.
Little as much.
Thank you, Lord.
If God gets it.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 1:27, I'm done. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And he had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty.
Yeah.
And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are.
Right.
That no flesh should glory in his presence. The moral of the story is, whatever you have, give it to God.
That's it. Right. That's it.
Praise God.
We look at our life like Saul right here. We say, look at me, I'm little, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. And you can tell right off the bat he wasn't willing to surrender 100% to God. That's why Jesus said the widow woman that brought the 2 pence, remember that?
Yeah.
The doctors and the lawyers, they done thrown in 50s and 100s. They was giving out of their abundance. Wow. It's a lot different giving when you give sacrificially. Or you give out abundantly.
Yeah.
Out of your abundance.
Come on. That's good.
Yeah. The guy's got $1,000 in his pocket and he reaches down and throws a 50 in. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's just a fraction of what he has. Right. He'll hardly miss that.
Yeah.
It's true.
But Jesus said, you see that widow woman over there? That's all baking off. He said, she gave more than anybody in the house.
Yeah.
It dumbfounded them. It threw them for a loop. They said, how's that? He said, because she gave all she had.
That's it.
You gave out of your abundance. She gave everything.
Yeah. Praise God.
She's going to go home tonight and don't know what she's going to eat tomorrow.
Because
she gave everything to me. I hope I'm helping us here tonight.
Come on.
Am I helping anybody here? Somebody walking out there? I'm out of time. Amen. That's all I had on my heart here tonight. Glory to God. God will supply your need. If you'll put him first.
Yes, right. Yes, he will.
Can anybody in this house tell me anything other? Have you ever seen him do anything otherwise?
No.
I wish I had Sister Barb here about right now, my Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah,
let her tell a few of them stories how God multiplied the strawberry patch.
Yeah.
First time I ever heard her tell that, I'm going to be honest with you. This to me and you, don't tell nobody. I thought she's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I did too when I first moved.
God cares about the strawberry patch. God cared about her coupons.
Come on.
She'd go in a coupon and get all kinds of stuff. Amen. But I also, when I first heard her, didn't know that she was basically a single mom raising kids, raising other kids by herself.
Yeah.
You got to learn.
Yeah.
Put God first and God will provide. Amen. I really needed to get further, but I can't even get through chapter 9. Amen. And I thought I was going to get 9 and 10. Amen. In this 9th chapter, God calls Saul. And in chapter 10, he equips Saul.
Yeah.
When God calls, and if God calls, he will equip to do what he has called to do.
Yes, sir.
People say, well, I can't do this. Saul couldn't either. I don't even have time to get into it really while I was on chapter number 10. Maybe if I won't permit, I'll get this another time. But I want you to notice, you'll have to get in chapter 10, read that later for homework. You like homework, don't you?
Yeah.
But in chapter 10, Saul was the same old Saul he always was. But when he got in the presence of the prophets, he began to prophesy. Amen. And the Bible said his heart was changed.
All right.
Sure did.
You'll never be able to do the calling until God changes the heart. And when God calls, he will change the heart. And then after he does that, he will equip you to do the job that he called you to do.
Right.
Amen. Glory to God. This is good stuff. I feel like, amen, clapping. Hallelujah. I feel like praising the Lord. Don't you? Let's go. Let's go. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply
all
part of your needs.
No.
Woo! My God shall supply some of what you need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory.
Yes, buddy.
Have you ever thought about, my Christ is, have you ever thought about how rich God really is?
Oh, my.
You know, money don't really mean a lot to poor folks like us, because we look at life as how we're going to get by. And some people look at life how we'll get by from day to day.
Yep.
Some people see how we'll get by from week to week.
Yep.
Some folks, you know, maybe year to year. But rich people, I don't even think
they don't. It's true.
I forget how much money it was I read the other day. Well, you know, all my life mostly, it's been Warren Buffett. You know, Buffett was, you know, started off, but he was a wealthy guy and he had a couple billion.
Yeah.
I read the other day, you could Google real fast, somebody could if they wanted to. Elon Musk is worth unbelievable billions of dollars. Up to $300 billion. Wow. So I got to think about that. And I Googled or something, I was reading billionaires. Germany has 70 or 80 billionaires. They give you a little list. China has, you know, 70 or 80 billionaires. You know, a lot of these countries, but when they got to America, I forget, they had like 300 or some billionaires. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But the Bible said, my God. Let me tell you something. If I had Elon Musk back at me and said, hey, buddy, I want you to go preach the world over. Whatever it costs, plane tickets, nothing. Suits. I might get some of them New York style suits.
Sure.
Whatever you need. I'd feel pretty confident with his $300 million that he was going to be able to back me. God said, I'll supply all your need according to my riches. How rich is God? Is he richer than Elon Musk?
Yeah.
I feel like if I was in a Pentecostal church, we'd be shouting by now. Amen. Is he richer? Amen. Warren Buffett. Is he richer than Bill Gates? Glory to God. Why don't we gather around this altar and look, my God shall supply all your need
according to his riches. Christ Jesus. He was not a body made, he was God.
something.